Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So I've been thinking of this as we are on the verge of the NBA playoffs. Does the NBA need LeBron James? And I think I need to reshape that question. Do you need LeBron James? Do you need LeBron James to be interested in a playoffs of this league if your team is either not in it or maybe getting an early exit out of the first round? And I'm telling you right now, you don't. You don't. Last night, Rockets and the Thunder, both teams riding some win streaks coming into the game. Paul George hits a shot with the second remaining. James Harden couldn't answer on the other end. This could be a potential 3-6 matchup. The Utah Jazz are very dangerous at five with Donovan Mitchell. He scored 46 against the Denver Nuggets. Denver, a team, again, name three Nuggets if you can, that is the number two seed in the Western Conference. Of course, there's Golden State. There's always Golden State. Clippers are pretty decent. The Spurs can be a fit. The East has Milwaukee and Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Raptors with Kawhi Leonard. Sixers and Celtics, teams that have been building up and building back up over the years. I think that while LeBron James's presence in the postseason has always been, you know, very interesting, because he's gone in the postseason where you're like, this is the year Boston is going to get him, and then nothing happens. I think they're going to run into a juggernaut Indiana team. Nope. Toronto's defense. Nope. I think nope. And now the Eastern Conference is a little more open. As we talk about Magic and leaving the Lakers and where the Lakers are as an organization, let's not forget that this is a NBA that's got a lot of superstars that are still in the postseason and a lot of superstars with teams that have a potential to make it to the finals. I don't think the West is so Golden State-oriented as it used to be in years past. I still think it's going to be very difficult for a team to knock the Warriors out, because it's hard to beat that team 4 out of 7 times. But look at the Rockets playing the way they're playing now. And maybe, just maybe, there is some hidden magic in what's going on in Denver, even if a lot of the NBA crowd isn't paying attention to what's going on in the Mile High City. But I know a lot of people will focus on what's going to go on with the Lakers and LeBron going forward. But let's remember, there are 16 teams heading to the postseason.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. Rolling along on a Wednesday. Know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help within 24 hours. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-471-2270. 800-471-2270. So Magic leaving his job with the Lakers, I don't think he was really qualified for the job in the first place. But why doesn't it work sometimes for when these big-time athletes go to salvage the team, when they go to the front office? What handcuffs them, if you will, to becoming successful? Not all of them. Some of them become really successful. Some of them really do a good job. I mean, Jerry West was a fantastic front office person. Fantastic.
I think he's the benchmark.
Yep, he's the benchmark. I mean, Danny Ainge has done a fine job. I mean, you go down the list. I mean, there's plenty of people who've done who played in the league and have found their niche in the front office. But a lot of times, you know, Dan Marino tried it. It didn't work. I mean, John Elway, the verdict is still out, because we're still not sure without Peyton Manning if he's capable of putting together a championship team together. This didn't work out with Magic.
Do we feel Larry Bird did a good job?
I thought he did an okay job. I don't think he was fantastic at it, but I think he did okay at it. But it's difficult, because you're not dealing with somebody. Here's the main concern I always have had, especially when it's a player of you know, who's going back to the franchise that made him famous in the first place, right? Or made him where he made his bones, right? Whether it's, you know, it's Magic to the Lakers or Elway to the Broncos, per se. It's that they have a different mindset. They didn't work their way up to the job, so they don't understand the politics that goes on in those jobs. And Magic pointed this out when leaving. He didn't like the backstabbing. That kind of comes with the territory when you're running a team. And sometimes you've got to play the game a little bit. But when you're young and you get involved in the front office of a team, maybe you work your way in communications, or maybe you work your way as an assistant to assistant to assistant GM, right? You understand the nuances of it. You understand how the game is played. I think, for example, if you ever watch the movie Moneyball, and you watch sort of the depiction of Billy Beane, played by Brad Pitt, and the way he is trying to get players, right? He's trying to negotiate deals with other teams. He's got to do a little manipulation, right? He's got to not show his cards to one team and maybe show a little bit more to another team, maybe show a little bit more to the other team so that the other team is talking to the other team that maybe up. You got to play this sort of game. And some of these guys don't like playing that game. They don't know how to do it because they weren't raised in it, or they didn't see it. They didn't know how it works. Magic, for example, clearly didn't know about tampering. And here's the other part. I don't think he cared. Like, I don't think he cared that he didn't know about tampering. He's Magic Johnson, for crying out loud, right? So he's probably not understanding there are rules to this. You can't go on Jimmy Kimmel and talk about a player. You can't go on some show, radio show, and talk about wanting this other player. That there are rules to this. But Magic's Magic. Who's going to tell him to not do that, right? How, John Elway's the same way in Denver. Who's going to tell John Elway he can't say this or say that? It's John Elway, for crying out loud. And that's where you run the risk. Right? Because they are, whether we like it or not, they have lived an entire life where 99% of their life, if not even 100% of their life, no one tells them no. There's no authority that tells them absolutely no, other than a coach. And in some cases, even the coach might be wrong. So there isn't somebody with them that guides them in this setting. That's why I said earlier, I am not really surprised that Magic didn't understand how the hierarchy works. I think he knew it, right? That you tell your boss first before you tell it. But I don't think it mattered to him because he's Magic Johnson, right? He can do whatever he wants. If he wants to do an impromptu press conference, he can. If he wants to tell Jeannie Buss, if he wants to talk to Jeannie Buss after she finds out through the media, he can. If he wants to do it by email, he can. If he wants to do it by snail mail, he can. He can do it any way he wants because he's not accustomed to that sort of business hierarchy. And that is the thing that gets most of these guys. It's not so much the decision making, it's how those decisions are made and how you process them and how you execute them, right? You know, John Elway, for example, I always go back to him because he's on that similar path. Well, there is real questions in Denver as to whether or not Elway can do this, become the vice president of football operations or president of football operations, which is what he is now. Can he do that? Yeah, it's one thing to sign Peyton Manning and have Peyton Manning give you an electrifying offense. It's one thing to notice you need a defense and build that up and win a championship in that way. But when there's people questioning your ability as a quarterback to grade quarterbacks, like, that's going to be hard to take. In Magic's situation, he was tasked with bring the Lakers back to glory, just like you did when you arrived in 1980. Bring the Lakers back to prominence. And he was up to the task because whether or not LeBron was heading to La La Land, no matter who was there, you get credit for signing LeBron James. And Magic gets credit for signing LeBron James. And I know there's a little, quote-unquote, imaginary asterisk next to it because, yeah, we all figured he was going to go to L.A. anyway because he's got L.A. interests. But the reality of it is that was on Magic's watch. Now, now the story is becoming, well, he wanted to fire Luke Walton and Jeannie Buss didn't want to. So let me ask this question. There's got to be more to it than that, right? Because if you're Magic Johnson and your job is, I'm going to bring the Lakers back to glory. And Magic is all about magic, right? Magic is all about the image of Magic, right? He wants to be Showtime all the time. So now, he didn't take the job for a paycheck. He didn't take the job because he needed something to do. He's got numerous business dealings. He's running a multi-million, like six-figure company, if not billion-dollar company, with movie theaters and all this other stuff that he does, if I'm not mistaken. He's got a lot of business at Ventures. So he wasn't doing it like, I'm bored, I didn't need money, I lost all my money in an investment. Right? No, he didn't have all that. Why he took the job? Because imagine if you're the face of a franchise, or you're one of the faces of an iconic franchise, and somebody asked you to repair it. That's a great honor. It's a great opportunity. Oh, you mean to tell me I can win 5 NBA championships with this team? Make them the dominating force of basketball in the 1980s? Become one of the greatest players of all time? And as president, lead them back to championship glory? I'll take it. It has to be more than that. He wanted to fire a coach. Jeannie Buss didn't want to fire a coach. That can't be the main reason he's going to give that away. Right? Maybe he says, you know, he starts to go, okay, well, it's Jeannie's team. I'll live with it. Maybe we can convince her down the road. Maybe we'll give it one more year and see where it goes. And then we can convince Jeannie that we got to go with a new coach. I think there was a lot more to that. There's a lot more to that. Because it doesn't make sense. When he talks about having a good life, you knew what your life was and you knew what this job was. No, there's more. And that is the thing that is going to hurt Jeannie when she goes out to get other people. Why did Magic leave? What is really going on there? Who is calling the shots? Jeannie, are you calling the shots? Are you trusting Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson to call the shots? Are you stepping back and going, as owner, I'll write the checks and I'll do the deals, you know, that you want, but you guys make the decisions? Or are you actively making the decisions as an owner? Are you putting your trust into those two guys to help that organization, or are you actively involved in it? If I was a guy that was up for that job, I'd want to know these things. What made one of the greatest Lakers of all time want to step away from the rebuilding project that was so attractive 2 years ago? What is it? What exactly happened in the lore of Laker purple and gold is not going to get me to quit my job and move out there if I'm not 100% sure as to exactly what's going on. This isn't Magic walking away because he's tired. This isn't Magic walking away because, you know, deep down, I'm admitting that deep down I'm not as good as this as I thought. This is not Magic because of, I don't know, whatever reason, right? He's got this other project he's working on, some other place, and he just doesn't. No, Magic is upset about something. Magic is angry about something. Magic is really, really confused about something and made him go, you know what? I'm done. Because I'm Magic Johnson. I don't need this. I'm done. I'm going to walk away. And I'm going to do it right here. I so want out of this. I'm going to do it right here in front of all you people. And that's where you get the impromptu press conference that he has to do. Now, he tells Rachel Nichols. Now, here's the other thing. He tells Rachel Nichols, right? I got this great life. I got this great life to go back to. I've always had this great life. And he's free. Well, what exactly is he free of? Because then he has kind of the official Laker backdrop press conference where he's kind of like, I'll cry, I'll wipe away, right? He does that. But what is he free of? Is he free of the burden of the Lakers of running this team and making decisions for this team and plotting a path for this team? Is he tired? Is he free from that? Or is he free from, man, everything I do, the NBA comes down on me. Every time I open my mouth, everybody criticizes it. Every time I say something, people tell me I can't say it and I got to pay a fine. Maybe he's talking about being free from that. But whatever it is, the situation that Magic is in, whatever the rules are for that kind of job, president of the Lakers, whatever the rules are, whatever you have to do to have that job, sometimes you got to, you know, make decisions that hurt people. Sometimes you got to manipulate people and you got to lie to the press a little bit. Sometimes you got to do a lot of things that makes you uncomfortable. That comes with the territory. You can't reveal everything. You can't do the Anthony Davis thing. You can't botch that. You got to be careful. And maybe Magic just went, you know what? I got to be Magic before I ever am going to be president of the Lakers. And if I can't be Magic as president of the Lakers, Well, I'm always going to choose to be Magic. Because if I'm president of the Lakers without being Magic, then I ain't anybody. I'm not going to be anybody. I'm always going to be Magic. And I think that's really at the crux of this. Is that deep down, he didn't want to be a president of a team that he had to sacrifice exactly who he is and the image that he has brought to the public for decades. He wants to do things his way because his way has always worked for Magic. Right? I mean, this guy one time had a failed talk show. Remember the Magic Hour? I think it was like 10 episodes, whatever. Does anybody even remember that? Exactly. Why? Magic. He was once the head coach of the Lakers. Do you remember that? Probably don't. Magic. He's always been able to give you this persona that, you know what? Everything's going to be all right. Everything he does is great. And even if it's not, it's so quick, you'll forget about it and remember all the good stuff. I mean, I've always said this about Magic Johnson. I'm going to say this coming out about Magic Johnson, that the most impressive thing about him has nothing to do with the Lakers, president of the Lakers, signing LeBron James, and even the five championships. There's something so impressive about Magic Johnson that blows me away. And I'll tell you what it is next. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, you can now earn O reward points online at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Earn points any way you shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You get a $5 reward for every 150 points you earn. Visit orewards.com. Become an O'Reilly O Rewards member today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Good, bad, and the dumb coming up in 10 minutes. So here's what I'm most impressed about Magic Johnson. I got to tell you, this is hard to put together, but I remember back in November of 1991, I thought Magic Johnson was going to be dead. I remember when he announced he was HIV positive. And at the time, in 1991, that meant you were going to die.
Yep.
That meant you were going to die and probably die soon. Everybody that I knew famously that had gotten it died from it. And Magic Johnson has HIV and it is not even part of his history. Like, nobody talks about it. Nobody brings it up because he's healthy. He takes care of himself. He takes the right medication. And again, I thought in a few years or a year, Magic Johnson was going to be dead of this. And now here I am, what, almost 30 years later?
Yeah,
and I'm talking about him stepping down as president of the Lakers.
It's one of those things that you constantly forget that he actually
constantly
is HIV
forget.
He's HIV positive.
Constantly forget.
I have to remind myself, like, oh yeah, you know that old chestnut.
That is impressive. That's impressive. Now I've read a few stories about Magic and the cocktails of pills he has to take and how he has to maintain a diet and how he has to maintain a workout regime and all of those things that has kept him alive since that announcement back in November of 1991. And, all right, so it didn't go away, right? Whatever. He's still dealing with it. But that to me is the most impressive part, is that he we're talking about Magic's future without this being any part of it whatsoever. Like, Magic is leaving because he's got a wonderful life and he's got all these businesses and we expect him to live he's 59, he's 60 years old, nearly 60 years old. He'll be 60 in August. And the fact that he's in 2019, we're debating whether or not the idea that we're debating whether or not Magic Johnson did the right thing by going to the press or Jeannie Buss to retire or to resign as president of the Lakers in 2019. Imagine that time machine going back to 1991.
And telling somebody
that.
You.
Not a chance. I mean, Larry Bird cried because he thought the same thing I did. Right? We all did.
Yeah.
That's what happened in 1991.
2-3 years left.
That's it.
And that's why it was such a big deal when they made him part of the 92 Dream Team. It's like, oh, this is going to be his last hurrah.
This is it, right? Exactly. This was going to be it.
Because, I mean, you know, when he stepped away from the game, think about it. We were just talking earlier about Dirk playing, what, Dirk played 21 years?
21 years, yeah.
I mean, Magic easily could have done that. Look at it. He only had an 11-year career.
Yeah.
That's a short career.
Listen, if you weren't alive then, if you're young and you may have just known about it through history or whatever, if you weren't alive then, I'm telling you,
we're breaking news to you right now.
We could be. We absolutely could be. This was the biggest bombshell. I remember just being floored by this announcement. Floored by this announcement.
I remember the way I found out about it was word of mouth. Because I didn't see the press conference. We didn't have cell phones to alert our phone or Twitter right. to go on or anything like that. It was all word of mouth. It was one friend saying it to another friend finally gets back to me. And, you know, just and I kept that train going. And then it was like, no, you know, when you first heard it, you're like, ah, you're kidding.
Yeah.
That's a joke. Yeah. And then you finally, you know, get home, watch the news, read a newspaper. They actually delivered those back then. And... You know, and then you're just reading up on it, and you're just seeing that press conference over and over. I mean, I was living in L.A. at the time. It was huge news.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was leaving the game, and then he came back. Remember there was the debate? Players were scared. Some players – Karl Malone, I think, was scared.
Yep.
Like, made some comments like, wait, well, we don't really know much about this. Like, what if I get cut and he gets cut?
And our blood mixes together.
And our blood mixes together.
And either that, but it was also we still didn't know if you could transfer it via sweat.
That's right.
You know, listen, I mean, basketball players sweat, obviously, and you're posting up on someone, you're rubbing up against someone. You know, there's a transfer of sweat all the time. It's gross, but that it happens all the time at basketball.
There was a Laker trainer that was wearing gloves once fixing Matt. That was like the big story on SportsCenter. When Magic got cut and the guy was treating it. I mean,
man, but he was wearing gloves and that was kind of new for us. Like, oh my God, he's wearing gloves.
Yeah.
Now think about it. How many trainers go out there not wearing gloves?
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, and that ushered in a new way for trainers to be. It's like, yeah, maybe we should put gloves on our hands, you know, and, just to protect ourselves.
And again, it was because, I mean, think about it from the way AIDS was in the 80s. Like every actor, musician, anybody who had gotten it, just they were gone within a year, 2 years, whatever. And so that's what we thought about Magic.
Well,
we didn't understand it. We didn't know any of the science other than this was a death sentence if you had it.
Yeah. I think the other most famous person that I knew that had HIV or AIDS was that kid, Ryan White.
That Ryan White, yeah.
And that's all I really knew about it, because it was a kid my age who wasn't allowed to go to school, and it was a big to-do. And by the time Magic made his announcement, he had already passed away. And so I was like, oh, that's, you know, that's just your fate.
So again, to me, the fact that here I am in 2019, either A, reminding you he had HIV in 1991 or announced it in 91, or you didn't hear that or didn't know that, is a remarkable accomplishment for Magic. It is a remarkable testament to his will to stay alive and fight something that we didn't think could be fought at all. Like he said in that press conference in 91, I'm going to be around a while. Nobody believed him.
Nope.
Nobody believed him.
Well, I find it amazing too that, you know, when he stepped away from the game the first time, we were all, you know, sorrowful.
Yeah.
He's stepping away now and we're blasting him.
That's right. Didn't do it the right way, Magic. Didn't, you know, you should have gone to Genie first. You didn't even do a good job, right? I mean, all of the things, and you're leaving the team a mess. But again, the most incredible thing about it is that for nearly 30 years, he's been living with this, and it is remarkable. Still left the team a mess. still has created a cloud of real doubt as to where the future is going. But that is the most impressive thing about Magic Johnson. And it's about 28 years. That's really, really remarkable. All right, coming up, the good, the bad, and the dumb, as we roll along on a Wednesday morning on SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Good, bad, the dumb. Wednesday morning, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. All right, Mr. Culver, what do you got for us?
No, the good of the day. I don't know. There's a movie coming out in a couple of weeks. I don't know if you've heard about it.
I have.
Avengers Endgame. Well, ever since tickets went on sale, the pre-sale tickets, they have been smashing records left and right. They had the most tickets sold like in an hour, most tickets sold in a day. Now we can add one more to this list. They have already sold twice as many advance tickets than Infinity War, The Last Jedi, Captain Marvel, and Aquaman combined.
Wow.
Think about
that. Did anybody really buy an advance ticket to Aquaman?
You know, there's some DC fans out there.
Is that a good movie? I didn't even see it.
You know, we watched it the other day. It's not that bad.
Not bad? Okay.
Not bad. I mean, I haven't been a fan. I mean, I like the Batman movies with Christian Bale.
Right.
They were fun. I haven't really been a fan of Superman movies. I haven't seen Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman's pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they're okay, but you know, I think Marvel got the early jump on it. And just
yeah, I do
better.
Too. That's pretty remarkable. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All in a day. That's great.
So, I mean, I guess this is probably going to be a big movie.
Well, this is very equivalent to, if you got to go in the Wayback Machine for a lot of you people, this is very equivalent to 1980 when Empire Strikes Back came out. Right, like the Empire Strikes Back was a movie where you went, okay, when's the next story going to be? Because I need to find out how this ends, right? And then you have to wait till Return of the Jedi comes to see how it all comes to fruition. I think if you watched Infinity War, now you either watched it in the theater, maybe you watched it on Netflix or whatever, you're left with, okay, wait a minute. What just happened here? Wait a
right.
minute. What? How are they going to get out of this pickle? And that's, I think that makes this movie so great, is that there's so many unanswered questions, how they're going to do it, how the heroes are going to win the day and beat this guy back and return some of our favorite heroes back to life. Maybe
you would assume,
you know, possibly, I don't know. Maybe they're gone forever. Who knows? But nevertheless, that's the buzz. Like, I remember being a kid, and I was a little kid when Empire Strikes Back came out. And I remember like flipping out when I found out that it was going to be like 3 years before Return of the Jedi came out. I mean, I was like, that might as well have been 100.
Yeah.
3 years.
I know,
to find out if, you know, Luke beats Darth Vader.
And we've waited a year.
Yeah, I know. We haven't even waited
that seems
long.
Too long.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I can't believe it's been a year until we find out what happened post-snap.
Well, remember a couple of, well, I know you're new to the Game of Thrones crowd, but when Game of Thrones announced it was going to be April of 2019, that the show was going to come back, people went, oh, that's way too far. Wait, I can't. Now, here it is. It's coming this weekend.
No, no, for me, I need more time.
I know, right?
I need more time.
Good for Marvel. They deserve it. They put out good movies. They've done a great job. I've been thoroughly entertained. Some of them are hit and miss. Some of them
yeah,
are not.
Some of them are hit and miss. But
you can't hit a home run with 22 of them, for crying out loud.
Well,
I mean, they've really nailed it.
You also just got to go in with the mindset, like, you know what? I want to escape reality for a little bit. I'm not looking at Oscar-winning performances. I just want to be taken away from life.
Exactly.
And I think that's – and it provides that.
It totally does. And, like, you watch it with your boys. I've watched it with my son. It's something that we've done forever. It's a great way to bond with. It's fun. So I'm really looking forward to it.
I know. Well, I mean, you might have to wait though.
I may have to wait. Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Even in my little town, I'm sure there's going to be a line out the door.
Yeah. The bad of the day, you know, Tony, we've had we've had a couple of really nice retirement ceremonies.
Yes, we have.
You know, with Dwayne Wade and all the hoopla that he received, deservedly so, and the same with Dirk Nowitzki. But, you know, kind of need to step up our game. You know that?
No, we do?
There's so much more we could do with a retirement ceremony.
Okay.
As proven by this Italian soccer player.
Oh, no.
This Italian soccer player, he staged a mafia kidnapping complete with helicopter landing on the field in the middle of a game.
He did?
Yes.
He got a helicopter to land on the field?
Yes. And the only bad thing was is that he really didn't tell anyone that this is what he was doing.
Even better.
So the government was kind of upset by it.
Yeah, I would think so.
Because, I mean, he's a 50, he's in his 50s. I know that. So, I mean, it's not a main soccer club. I mean, it's one of the smaller local ones. He plays in Sicily. So it's not unreasonable to think that someone could kidnap him in Sicily.
Oh, sure.
That's not, where, no,
of course.
Where the mafia started.
Sure.
But yeah, during the middle of a game, he had a helicopter come land on the field. Two guys jumped out, armed at gunpoint, with hoods over their head, and grabbed him and took him into like a helicopter and took off. So, the tributes were nice, but we need to step it up a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. That sounds like a James Bond plot.
Doesn't it?
You know, like you ever watch when criminals do this incredibly a better example would be, because you brought up the Batman movies, when Bane's guys bust the plane, they extract Bane and the doctor from the plane. Like when you get these Hollywood movies where bad guys orchestrate something brilliant, that's what I think about when I hear this land a helicopter in the field.
Yeah.
Story.
And like I said, I mean, the football authorities, they weren't, the governing body of the league and the city,
right,
they weren't too happy about it. So they fined the team, I don't know what, 200 euros?
Yeah.
And the team is banned from
playing.
Sounds like
$10.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
The team was banned from playing until the end of May. And that guy received a ban. He can't play until the end of June, but it doesn't matter. He just up and retired.
That's right. Now, were they upset because... like, that's a stadium of people. And
it's a stadium. Well,
like,
I mean,
you can't land a helicopter.
Now, again, you have to think it's not a big club, so I don't think the stadium was full. But it is a sanctioned game going on. There are fans in the stadium. But it was just the fact that he told no one, that everyone kind of lost it for a second. Like, what just happened?
Right.
Now, what people probably didn't notice is that he was holding a sign. Yeah, a little sign that said, in a time, but it said elimination service for Finnish players.
I got you. Okay.
So
okay.
He was basically saying, I'm out. I'm retiring. And
okay.
this is how I want to go out.
Not bad. Not bad. Well done. Well done. All right. What's the dub of the day?
I would love to see that, though. Would you?
Oh, I would, too. I would absolutely love to see that. That
just
would
like,
be
you
great.
Know, if Gronk had done that instead of announcing it on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe that's a Magic thing. Magic could have done something like that, just had masked gunmen come into the Staples Center, haul him away, and then he goes back, and we'd be blasting him for that, right?
Yeah, sure. Of course we would have, right. Of course, yeah.
Now, the dumb of the day, I don't know. You have mascots, and mascots sometimes do things where they get themselves in trouble.
Yep. Most of the time.
And we have one here in Houston. I really don't know what to think of this, all right? Because a Astros fan, and I'm putting that in air quotes, a woman is suing the Astros for $1 million because Orbit, who is the Astros mascot, fired a T-shirt cannon that ended up breaking her finger.
Oh, this is really tricky. Don't you give up your right to that kind of thing when you go to a game? You ever see a ticket like on the back of a ticket? It's a million legalese that's on that thing. Don't you usually give up your right to those kind of?
I thought you did, but
we're
going to
be doing this and we're going to be doing that. And listen, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but sometimes things happen.
Yeah, but I mean, you think about it. I mean, mascots have been sued. There was one I know that where the most of them get thrown out of court or they're settled out of court.
Why is she suing the man? Is she suing the person who's in the costume, or is she suing the organization?
She's suing the organization.
Okay.
The Astros organization, because they, obviously employ the mascot.
Yeah, because the mascot ain't going to pay no $1 million.
No. Orbit has space bucks. I don't think she would go for the space bucks.
Yeah, she wouldn't go for the space bucks. But I always thought you gave up, you kind of gave up. I thought you did, too. Same with like a foul ball. Like if you get hit in the face with a foul ball...
You can't
sue. There's legalese on the back of your ticket that says, man, you run the risk of that kind of thing happening. You're at a stadium, for crying out
loud. Yeah, especially, if you're sitting in this section. I'm surprised they don't have it yet, or maybe they do. I think they do as you walk down to where they are. It says, warning, foul balls coming in hot. Keep your eye on the game type of thing. Yeah. I mean, it's not out of the question that we could have. I mean, I'm surprised we haven't seen it. I know. I think it has happened in baseball's rich history that someone has died from getting hit by a foul ball or a bat.
Yeah, I don't know if any in recent years have.
No, not in recent years, but I think since like the 1800s, since it was being played.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah,
that somebody's probably died, but I don't know. I mean, I almost say it's on you for the way you were trying to catch a T-shirt.
Yeah, because that's right.
I don't think they're coming in red hot. You know, it's not like a bullet being shot at you. It's a T-shirt.
It is a T-shirt. It's a, you know, you ever see people go crazy for that?
Oh, of course.
I mean, T-shirts are amazing. Like, if you want to, get people to fight like cats and dogs, give them a free shirt.
And it literally cut me. I don't even think it cost them a dollar.
Yeah, exactly. And they just fire it out of a gun.
And I don't. I mean, for me, if I got hurt, then I broke my finger, I'd put that more on me. Like, I should open my hand up a little bit more. I could. Right. I don't think I could go around saying, you know what, I'm going to sue the Astros because they fired a T-shirt at me and I reached up to grab it. And I just didn't grab it right.
By the way, is Orbit a is he a beloved Houston mascot?
Yes.
People like him. Like
people love Orbit.
Like
they
love Orbit.
Me?
Yeah. Okay.
He has a huge presence at all the games. I mean, just picture like you know the Philly Fanatic.
Oh, the Philly! Yeah, sure.
People love the Philly Fanatic. That's exactly what Orbit is.
San Diego Chicken. Yeah.
You know, Benny the Bull.
This new one for the Flyers, Gritty.
I don't know about that
guy. He's getting a lot of social media love.
He's getting a lot of social media love. He's made his rounds on the talk show circuit. I've seen him pop up in a couple of places. But, again, I don't know what to think of him just yet. But, I mean, no, Orbit is a beloved character in this with the Houston Astros.
Well, good luck winning that PR battle, lady, against Orbit.
I don't know. I find it stupid that you can sue a mascot or sue an organization because of a T-shirt.
Yeah, I have a hard time buying that. Yeah, I don't think she's gonna have much of a case.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, because here's the other thing too. I got a funny feeling like everybody in Major League Baseball has gotten so many lawyers to be like, make sure none of this could happen. Like we're gonna do a T-shirt gun. Are we protected? Yes, you're protected. They can't sue you. Great. Doesn't mean they can't try. It just means that, they're pretty protected based on what it says on the back of the ticket. Every time you buy a ticket, man, just check the back of it. There's so much legalese behind it. It's unbelievable. I'm surprised you're not giving your firstborn away to attend a concert.
I remember hearing one, with the Philly Fanatic. The Phillies were sued by a guy. Philly Fanatic was at a paint store, a local pop-up.
Yeah,
mascots do that. Go around town, and a guy sued and won $2.5 million from the Phillies because the Fanatic hugged him and hurt his back.
Oh no!
So that I can see that's a little bit different than a T-shirt cannon because I mean if you didn't want the T-shirt, then don't go up. I mean you had to be actively trying to catch it.
Yeah, that's very true.
It wasn't like you were just, talking to your friend and all of a sudden the T-shirt hit your hand. You're like, oh, my God, broke my pinky.
Right.
You had to be trying to. So I don't know. I don't know about that one.
Life of a mascot. All right. That's a good, bad, the dumb for Wednesday morning on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So the Masters gets underway on Thursday. Brooks Koepka, the two-time major champion from last year, won the U.S. Open and the PGA, was talking about how in 98-99, about 20 years ago, he was in the parking lot of the Masters as a little kid. He saw Phil Mickelson. He went up to Phil Mickelson to ask for an autograph, and Mickelson said no. He hated Phil Mickelson for a long time, as kids do when they get told no for an autograph as a young kid. He grows up to become a professional golfer. They're playing a practice round at the British Open a couple of years ago. Koepka mentions this to Phil, that as a kid, he came up to him at the Masters, was biggest fan. And he goes, and then you turned me down for an autograph, and I didn't like you for the longest time. And Phil, without missing a beat, said, you shouldn't have been in the parking lot. That's so Phil, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? That is so, he comes up with some good stuff lately. These are good
Phil
Mickelson stories.
Shouldn't have been in the parking lot?
Shouldn't have been in the parking
lot.
That
is awesome.
That's great Phil Mickelson. Like, Brooks was so amazed because Phil didn't remember it. He goes, I might have been the only kid you've ever turned down for an autograph. And Phil said, shouldn't have been in the parking lot. Instead of saying, oh, sorry, man. That stinks. I might have been having a bad day. I probably didn't even know what was going on. So I should have been.
I was telling you earlier, there's a video of him, just practicing.
Yeah.
At the Masters. Yeah. You know, that little putting green area there where they have like the bunkers and things like that. And he's just practicing. And he literally has a $100 bill like about to fall out of his pocket.
He's like the Richie Rich of golf. Like all these guys are wealthy, but Mickelson is like wealthy.
He's stupid wealth.
Like he's stupid wealthy. Matt Kuchar told a story one time that, he was playing a practice round when he was younger. He played a practice round with the Masters with Phil. And he said Phil had the most absolutely gorgeous, like, alligator shoes, golf shoes he'd ever seen. And Phil had no problems telling him how much he paid for them, which was a lot more than Matt Kuchar had at any point in his life before he hit it big.
Oh, you know, he made 90,000 of these things.
Yeah, exactly.
Still,
I made 90,000.
Greatest line ever. That's better than you shouldn't have been in the parking lot.
That is better than you shouldn't have been in the parking lot. That's Phil Mickelson. Hey, I made 90,000 of these $100 bills. Oh, well done, Phil. Masters again starts on Thursday. Par 3 contest at Augusta today. SB Nation AM.